just have page one. We need one.
Go ahead and call the meeting member. Beth, please call the roll.
Okay, Mr. Bodie?
Here.
Mrs. Brannon?
Here.
Mrs. Palmisciano?
Here.
Mr. Truitt?
Here.
Ms. Wassman?
Here. As everybody stand for the pledge and a moment's silence, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Paul, do we have any recognition of Chief Interstate contribution tonight?
We do not.
All right, we'll move on to recognition of guests and hearing of the public. Quick reminder, I don't know if we have any guests here, but certainly people can speak now or before the action item. We ask that you state your name and address to the board. Use reasonable decorum. Do not mention student or staff names. And once again, we will not be answering questions or debating, but we'd certainly be happy to follow up with any questions. So any public participation at this time? All right, we have a plethora of minutes to approve. And I know that I wasn't here on the 9th, but some of these we may need to clear out based on who was here when. I think we had everybody on June 27th. Mm-hmm. And we have everybody on the 19th.
Three. We had Debbie, Jesse, Molly.
All right. I think it's going to be easier probably to be separate at this time. So I have a motion to approve the minutes from the regular board meeting on June 27th.
So moved.
Second.
Beth.
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisciano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
And Ms. Wassman?
Aye.
Can I have a motion to approve the regular board meeting minutes from July 9th, 2018?
So moved.
Second.
Beth.
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisciano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Abstained.
And Ms. Wassman?
Aye.
Special board meeting on July 19th minutes?
So moved. Second.
Thinking up there over there.
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye. You were there.
Abstain.
Yeah. Got it.
Yes.
Mrs. Palmisciano?
Abstain.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
And Ms. Wassmuth?
Special meeting on August 19th.
Everyone except Eric was there.
Thank you. Motion?
So moved. Second.
Mr. Bodie?
Abstain.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisciano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wassmuth?
Aye.
And finally, special meeting on August 24th.
Eric and Molly were not there.
To approve the minutes for the special meeting on August 24th, 2018.
Mr. Bodie?
Abstain.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisciano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wassmuth?
Abstain.
All right, thank you. These are important that those are accurate in our record. Next up, billing and department reports. I know that was emailed out and we have a copy now. I didn't know if broken record. I know I, as a board member, I know the rest of the board certainly appreciate these reports and compared with the rest of the board packet are the most enjoyable to review. Does any board have any other comments or questions on the building and ground reports as submitted by the administration?
I do have a question how the 1-1 initiative seems to be going. I know everyone's got their device, but...
Yeah. So by all accounts, it is going very well in terms of implementation and in terms of its effectiveness. You know, there haven't been any glitches, I guess, in terms of the getting it done. I think that we still have work to do in terms of making some final decisions about does it make sense to continue to allow grades 9 through 12 to take them home, or should we extend that, is one of the questions that I think is on the table. I know that one of the things that we're in the process of doing is we're going to survey students, staff, and parents to try and garner some feedback about how they feel it's going, as well as assess what their feelings are about allowing students to take them home and at what grade that should occur, shouldn't occur. But by all accounts, I think it's going very, very well. And at the end of the day, again, it's a tool, and it's about how do we maximize and personalize learning. I do applaud also, I know that Angie, is it Amplify, is that the book? Is reading a book with staff about, it's called Amplify, and it is a book that focuses on, it is just but a tool, and how can we use it to enhance our mission, our stated mission, to maximize and personalize, and change the way kids learn, and give kids an opportunity to use it as a tool to demonstrate their knowledge and learn differently.
I saw that there's going to be parent forums.
Yeah, there's two parent forums scheduled, and that is not only about the device, but also about our learning management system, Schoology, to answer any questions. Last I heard, there were 55 parents registered.
I
agree. So I thank you, Mr. Dice, for scheduling that as well.
So funny story, and this was my misunderstanding when we were presenting the one-to-one. I assumed that the kids were taking them home, and that was never said. So that was
right. Yeah.
So I asked Sam tonight. I'm like, when do you know if you get to take these home at some point? And he's like, the teacher said that the school board had to decide. And I started to call him on it, and then he started like backing it up. He's like, no, I don't know what I heard. I don't know what they said. So I had to bring it up, so it'll be very interesting. So that was my misunderstanding of this. Yeah, but
more to come on that. More to come on that.
You guys know when it makes sense.
It's an operations question.
You know, I will just say, one of the things that is interesting as a father of three kids myself, oftentimes you need that tool to accomplish your objective for that night relative to homework or research or collaboration or editing a paper or whatever it is. And, you know, I have a laptop. My wife has a laptop, and we have a desktop. But oftentimes she or I are using them. So in terms of capacity, it is nice to have them, for our kids to have their devices with them, because it doesn't create any undue tension about,
right,
you know, who can access it when. And you know, the other thing I think about often is, if learning is the constant, we ought not to be limited by our ability to learn and access knowledge with not having that device just from 8 to 3. So those are my thoughts. Obviously, I'm showing my hand a little bit with those two statements. The final thing I'll say, actually, I had no plans of saying this, but my youngest son in third grade was able to bring it home, his device home. And I was, quite candidly, I said to my wife at the start of the school year, this is a really bad idea. This is not a good idea. I cannot believe this. This is a mistake. And, I mean, this is a kid who, no exaggeration, he's lost or left more hoodies, like sweatshirts, than he has. You know, and jackets and gloves and hats. And I will tell you, that little guy had his computer charged and with him every single day. So halfway through the year, I was a believer. I share that with you just anecdotally on a personal level as a dad.
That's cool. I have a second grader that's already surpassing my technology. He's already with my Chromebook. He's like, Mom, do this, this, and this. And he was telling me about it. And I'm just like, wow. He's like, this, and this, and this is what
rollout was really fantastic, and he's very, it's one of those things where it's like, this is mine, and I am responsible for it, and I'm like, what about mommy's? He's like, that's yours. You are responsible for it? I'm with you, though, because I'm like, no. We'll see if and when mine comes home, but apparently Mr. Jewett has to decide that.
Before, word of advice, don't lend him your charging cord.
Right.
As exciting as kids bringing computers home, we'll have to go over the financial report.
Okay. I know this is really what you guys are all waiting for. So it's been a while since we have met in regular session to actually review and present financial reports. So you will find June, July, and August, 3 months worth of reports in the packet. So probably more financial information than you care to look at. But I want to first start with the single sheet that I handed out, and that is the year-end recap as of the end of June. So I think it's really important to look at where we expected to be and look at the actual results, and then, kind of take a little bit deeper dive into what those differences are. So to end our fiscal year, you can see our revenue budget was about $18.2 million. Our actual revenue was about $19.2 million. So a couple things that I wanted to point out in terms of revenue being over our projections. So if you look at property taxes, property tax allocation, and Grandview Yard, you kind of really need to look at those three together. Because the calculations that we do, the property tax allocation is the state reimbursement portion of those taxes, and then the Grandview Yard portion, and especially because we had the funny situation with some of those TIF parcels pending, what I budgeted for is those parcels being approved during the year. Well, they didn't get approved as of the end of the year. So what you see is Grandview Yard being less than projected because those parcels were being taxed. So our hold harmless money went away in terms of Grandview Yard. So our taxes, of course, are then higher because we're collecting taxes on these TIF parcels. So if you look at those three revenue categories together, we were over by about $344,000. Out of 16.5 million, which is about 2%. So there are some factors with property taxes that, I mean, they are pretty predictable. There are a couple things that will throw those estimates off just a little bit. Is we have the projections for a calendar year. We're on a fiscal year, so predicting exactly how that split will be between the calendar year and the fiscal year is an estimate. Delinquents, we really don't have a whole lot of problem with delinquent taxes, but sometimes when those delinquent collections come in, can affect those numbers a little bit. So anyway, that gives you a little bit of perspective on the taxes, which is, of course, our main revenue source. Couple other things I wanted to point out, our other operating revenue was about $275,000 more than what we budgeted, which is a good thing. A couple things we that were higher than what we expected. First of all, is interest revenue. So we had an increase of about $75,000 in interest revenue from the previous year. So that is a direct result of interest rates being rock bottom for so long, and last year was when we saw those start to creep back up a little bit. So our interest revenue for the year was about $107,000. The previous year was about $30,000, and the couple years before that were about $16,000 total for the year. So that's a good thing. We had a larger than average kindergarten group, so our kindergarten tuition was up compared to previous years. We also had a workers' comp refund of about $42,000 last year, which was unprecedented, which again is a good thing, but I think the previous year, previous several years, the highest refund we'd ever had was $2,000. So that's a good thing. And there has been a push to push some of that workers' comp money back to local governments. So that was a direct result of that. And then finally, last year was the first year that we did the Kids Club, reimbursed the general fund for some of the overhead and administrative costs that our board policy allows, but that we had not done in the past. So anyway, that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective on our other revenue. And then, of course, the tangible personal property tax has been eliminated, but we got a final allocation from the previous year that was settled during fiscal year 18. So looking at expenses, our expenses were at about 97% of what we budgeted for the year. Salaries, you can see, were at about just a little under 97%. Which I went back to the previous year, and it was very similar. I think it was 97 point something. There are certainly some estimates involved there. Supplementals, we have different schedules depending on years of service. So again, overall about 97%. We finished the fiscal year. The cash balance at June 30th was $7,819,195. The unreserved cash balance was $6,613,297. One thing I will also mention is, again, in accordance with our budget reserve policy, the next agenda, I will have a recommendation to transfer into that budget reserve. So that we're up to date, and that is equal to 5% of our general fund revenues. So we kind of adjust that once a year, and so now would be the time that we would do that.
So one quick question.
Sure.
When those TIF parcels come online, are we going to owe them $300,000?
So the county auditor will take back the cumulative amount of taxes that they have given us over the last couple years, because it's a little over 2 years that this has been going on. But our Grandview Yard payment will also be retroactive. So when the city calculates our Grandview Yard payment, we have a hold harmless piece that is the difference between the current taxable, which dropped to like 24 million. Well, right now it's way up there because of there. So anyway, a retroactive adjustment will be made to that as well, and so it pretty much is an offset. So we won't, overall we should not lose any money, so we'll get retroactive adjustments on both of those. And then the other packet that I passed out is the August 31. So I didn't think that it was a great use of our time to go through the July reports, since we're in August now. This is just updated information of what I've included it for July. So looking at the cash reconciliation, I think I mentioned to each of you that we have changed banks, and we have opened up accounts with First Merchants, our local bank here. And so you'll see that the old PNC accounts, as we leave those open to let those checks clear. The payroll account, we're switching as of October 1. So September is the busiest month of the year for payroll, because all the new teacher contracts start. So there's a lot of, we thought get past that, and then October 1 is we would switch over the payroll account. So you'll see the PNC accounts and the First Merchant accounts. So First Merchants has guaranteed that they will match or exceed the Star Ohio rate on the money market account. So that account is 2.15% right now. So we've got about 1.2 million in there. The Star Ohio rate as of August 31st was 2.11. So the First Merchants is even, you know, a few points higher than that. Star Plus was 2.10. So just a couple quick words about First Merchants. The service that we are getting, I feel, is excellent. If we have any questions, any problems, any issues, we can pick up the phone, call a person, call the bank manager, and she'll be in our office within 10 minutes if we need. we did not get that level of service with PNC and have had a number of challenging situations with them. So I'm really excited about this. This is going to save us anywhere between $5,000 and $6,000 a year in bank fees. So there will be zero bank fees attached to our new accounts at First Merchants. So I'm really, really excited about the change. Things have gone very, very smoothly so far, and you know, they're a great local supporter of the school district, and I'm just really, really happy about the opportunity to work with them. So. So moving on, there's not a whole lot to report this early in the fiscal year. You know, you can see our activity is pretty consistent. We've gotten our first tax settlement. We did get our homestead and rollback and Grandview Yard money, which we didn't have as of August 31st last year. So there's a few timing issues such as that. Our salaries are quite, you know, a significant jump from last year. We did add a few positions. I'm going to do a little bit further checking tomorrow on that. So that's about $200,000 higher than where we were last year. So I will provide an update to you guys on that once I dig into that a little bit deeper. The rest of the expenditure accounts are very, very similar to where we were at this time last year. Looking at the budget sheet, we're very close to where we would expect to be at this point. So not a whole lot going, or not a whole lot to really dig into at this point in the fiscal year. Budget to actual charts are attached. And then finally, the PI, the Permanent Improvement Fund, budget to actual, and then the financial detail reports. So that's everything for August. If you have any questions on the July, you know, feel free to let me know. They are in the packet, but I just figured it made sense to go over this since it's the most updated. So that's all I have.
I have a motion to approve the June, July, and August 2018 financial reports and payment of June, July, and August 2018 bills.
Second.
Any discussion?
I do have a question. You were talking about
sure.
The allocation from the Kids Club program.
Yeah.
And I saw, did we do 20% last year and this year?
We did. We did drop that to 15%. So Colleen is in the middle of filling, working to fill some staffing positions, her assistant director. We do have a little bit of flexibility in adjusting that from year to year. Andy and I talked about that a little bit and thought it might be best, given some of the challenges that she's having, to make sure that her program has everything it needs and is staffed to make sure it's successful. And so we want to support her in doing that.
We're also picking up the fees for credit cards.
We are.
So that's a change, I think, since the 20%.
That is correct. That is correct. So, yes, it did drop from 20 to 15 in the recommendation.
Those interviews are underway for the assistant director.
Mm-hmm.
Maria couldn't even say goodbye. She just got her car and drove away. So.
Okay, Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasmuth?
Aye.
Committee reports. We'll start with finance. Andy and Beth and Eric and I did meet, just as a reminder, at the next board meeting in October, and we'll approve the Pfizer forecast. Mm-hmm. We went through it in a fair amount of detail. This is one of the reasons we established the finance committee, to go through a lot of those assumptions and talk about those. Nothing to be presented yet. I think Beth, you've got a bit of work to do, and I assume you, the finance committee, will meet again before the October board meeting once that gets finalized. And
mm-hmm.
Beth does a good job of trying to get that forecast out to the board plenty ahead of time, so there's a lot of time for discussion. We also looked at some other data. I asked Beth to just sort of share. These are all things that you've seen over and over and over again, so I apologize if this is too redundant, but I always like to just look at these. I don't know if there's anybody out there that needs it. So the first sheet, is that two-sided?
Yeah. No, it's a single-sided.
Wait, did I mess that up?
I just printed the one side.
So this is just essentially, you know, if we were successful as a district on a November ballot issue, where we fall. I believe we are right now
second from the bottom.
Second from the bottom.
So 1144.
It does raise us. One thing that, and the reason we looked at this, I was just curious, the one thing that's not reflected in this chart, and I don't think should be because it could be disingenuous, is that there are four other districts on the ballot. So whether they pass or fail would really depend on how you look in the average. So just really quick, Dublin's asking for 11.31 mils. That would change their 1627 to 2023. Worthington's got kind of a complicated formula. It would change their 1545 to 1736. Plus, they would have automatically increase in millage. They're doing an incremental. So I think it begins at 2.9 and it ends at 8.9. So this is the 2.9 of the operating part of that. Obviously, where we are, Whitehall would actually go above us if they're successful from 1364 to 1483, Southwestern from 1305 to 1370. And once again, I don't know if that matters. In my role as a board member, whether it's academic data, whether it's teacher salary data, whether it's policy, I always like to look at the county. I mean, we as a board and we as a community have to decide what's good for us. So I in no way am trying to imply anything with this. I just like to know sort of the market value and where we land. And it is interesting that Dublin would go from fifth on the list to a strong 2023. I mean, they'd be
a
well
strong number one.
In that. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion with this, but this is just a ranking. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The other thing we looked at, and I know that we've looked at the past, and this is more about Grandview and less about the county. We just looked at, I asked Beth to pull together a chart that showed each time we bid on the ballot and the amount it cost for $100,000 evaluation. What this doesn't show is some of these are mixes between PI and operating bond, and we have all that and we've shared that with the public. I believe that's on the website. I just want to see pure dollar amount. Once again, I don't know if this is useful or not. I just like to see some historical context. I would say for this, what's interesting is you know, I looked at these ones that are really low in 85 and 90, and I don't know the context around those, but it's interesting that it was only 2 years after one and only 3 years to the next. So I don't know if that was the makeup for a state funding cut.
I think those were PI, Jesse.
Or maybe
I think those
were
permanent
PI
improvement levies.
That weren't combined with operating. So, you know, they are what they are. I mean, at the end of the day, this is money that people are spending and have approved to spend for our kids in the past. So I just felt both of those were sort of good knowledge to have. Like I said, not trying to imply anything with it. The numbers are what the numbers are. And so I just found both of those interesting. And we played, particularly the first chart, a lot through the years. And so now this is where it is today. And I just wanted to share, you know, you really don't know where we'll land after the election day because it really depends where everybody else lands. And I'm not sure how important that is with our community because, once again, we need to decide what we want as a community. But the real thrust of our finance committee was the 5-year forecast, but we did look at some of these these other numbers. Beth or Andy or Eric, do you have anything to add? Mark, committee work?
No.
Okay.
I just want to point out with this chart, this is the comparison you have for 2018 is the building and the operating.
Yes.
I don't think, are there any other keys with the last building we had? Off the charts at this point?
So the last bond started in 1994, I believe.
Okay.
So those levies, so Jesse asked me to show those in terms of dollars per 100,000. So when on the one that I have the millage, they're different colors for the different types. So some of those are split between operating and like bond, for example, or operating in PI or for example. So that one just shows the total cost of whatever it doesn't differentiate between the types of levies. I can follow up with an email that includes both of them.
That exists.
It does exist. Yeah.
Will you send that to the board,
sure,
please?
I know
we've seen it before, but just so it's fresh.
Yep.
Thank you.
And there hasn't been a bond since 94, right?
Right.
The only other thing besides operating was a PI in 2010.
10, yep.
2002 is just operating, isn't it?
I think so, but I would double check.
then 3 years later, another high one.
That was the year that the city was on the ballot, the library was on the ballot, and the school was on the ballot, and they all passed.
That's a fair score.
Policy.
I don't have any updates with policy.
Right. Teaching and learning?
We did not meet.
All right. Communications.
We're working on our, the things I would say is we're working on our academic perspectives. We had an initial release. We've gotten some feedback. We're fine-tuning that again. We're working on finalizing quality profile. We are
newsletters out,
the quarterly newsletter, and you know, those are a major.
I don't know if we've met as a board, but once again, I really appreciate, I know the whole board really appreciates the amount of effort on the profile and the academic perspectives. I think most districts do very good with sort of the cheerleading stuff and, you know, some of the branding stuff, but, you know, that's the heart of what we do, and I think it's good. It's out there, and I think in a community like ours with a well-informed community, you know, they like that, I think.
Yeah, I would just say, 22 years in education, that academic perspective is one of the more comprehensive, thorough, deep dives of our district in terms of reflecting the myriad of things that we do that are unique in best practices. I mean, it definitely, for individuals in our community who are truly interested in taking a deep look at the how and why, this accomplishes it.
And I think there's a secondary goal, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but, you know, the organization is the organization, and we want it to continue to grow and develop. So when a new high school principal comes in, you know, you're not just guessing, or when there's a few new board members elected, or, you know, I mean, you hope your people stay constant, but that tends to be not how the industry works. So. Not that all those things need to be the same, you know, Rob, I'm sure you'll bring some things that may make that document look different, but then we're not starting from scratch each time. There's definite vision and direction, and those things attract good candidates to us. And, you know, I would encourage that when we're posting jobs and we're recruiting people, those are the type of materials that a lot of times good candidates interview us, and we're going to interview them, I think. So thank you for that work. Wellness for Life?
The Wellness Committee met on August 22nd, and speaking of the academic perspectives, there's a whole page on wellness and all that our district's doing. It's probably even just scratching the surface, but there's a whole page on how it's been integrated into curriculum at all levels. So those programs are up and running. There's after school running club at Stevenson that's going to lead to second and third graders running the pumpkin run. They have walk to school day and move-a-thon. So the community garden continues at Edison. Since it was the first one in the fall, they talked about some spring programs that they did, like having the high school students talk with the middle school students on a marijuana panel, and that it was really successful. Mark Alter's working with service agencies to get more ideas for project-based learning things. Mr. Mahan, who's our new food services director, is right in there with Fresh Food Fridays and Ohio Local Days and Wednesdays. The Start Talking Grandview committee is teaming up with Stand in UA like they did last year. And instead of having book talks this year, they're doing community conversations. Like in January, there's going to be one on parent peer pressure. And so, because it was really hard for people to read books, and, but the conversations are really good to have. So they continue to add programming in those ways. So there's just a lot going on. There are parents involved and administration and staff. It's really a great comprehensive program.
And I believe, and I hope I have this right, that on one of our walking Wednesdays where a lot of people walk,
yes.
I think that was a day that some other school districts closed because of heat. Our kids are tough. I think other districts closed because of heat on one of those days.
Oh, because of heat.
And they're in the walk.
Yeah.
And
Education Foundation, you want to keep going?
Yeah, Education Foundation met on August 20th, and they have funded most of the 17 grants that they approved in the spring. That was $64,000 worth of grants, plus the $25,000 in scholarships. So they've been paying out on that. They sponsored the Ice Cream Social at Stevenson, and they helped sponsor the triathlon for the younger kids. They're also working in tandem with the school and the city on the batting cage at Pierce Field. They are looking for a treasurer for 2020 to shadow the current treasurer for next year, and a gala chair to shadow the gala chair. So anybody who wants to get involved that way. Yeah, I think we've said the 2019 gala is the 23rd of February, Saturday after the President's Day.
OSBA and legislative?
Go ahead.
No.
Well, the two things that come to mind with respect to this are the class of 2019 is realizing the changes in the graduation requirements. And one of the things that has been discussed by the governor's office, the state legislators, and the Ohio School Board is whether there should or shouldn't be a change in that. To give you perspective, in Grandview Heights, the class of 2019, we're looking at one student that is possibly not on track. But in, say, a Hilliard, and I just picked that district randomly, you know, you could be looking at 400 kids who aren't on track. And, you know, the question then becomes, well, they passed their courses, they haven't passed the end of course exam, so they can't graduate. What happens to those kids? Where do they go? What do they do? And, you know, I think that's a legitimate question and challenge. And I was actually on a conference call this morning, and I think there is a desire to figure some of that out. But right now, given the pending November election and all of the dynamics associated with that, there isn't going to be anything that happens between now and then. So the question is, and I think some of this is contingent upon, you know, who gets elected as governor and so on and so on. So that's one thing. The second thing is, and this might be getting mired down into too much specificity and into the weeds, but there was a gifted legislation that required 30 hours of professional development on an annual basis for any teacher that works with gifted students. And there was legislation to change that from 30 to 15. However, there seems to be confusion on ODE's part about whether that has officially been changed or hasn't. Those are my two updates.
I just have a update on the five-year forecast, and I'm not fascinated. That bill that came out this summer?
I wasn't going to bring that up because I haven't had a chance to read through it yet. But there's, it's like everyone's running for campaign, and then some of those things kind of slow down. And that's what it is. I haven't read through it yet.
It changed the due date for the five-year forecast will no longer be the end of October, it'll be the end of November, starting in 2019.
Right.
Which does make sense.
It does.
Depending on whether a levy passes or not, your five-year forecast is completely
is out of date a couple weeks after you do it.
That does make sense.
Right.
So they change it till November, and then I think the May date stays the same.
Correct.
But that was something that just came out over the summer out of
Yeah, it doesn't affect this year because it's a certain number of days after that legislation takes place, and that number of days falls after the October 31st deadline, so that's why it doesn't take effect till 2019.
There's a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Ohio School Board Association. No, we must do your five-year forecast this year in October.
Well, we don't have ours. Anything else for the legislative, OSBA?
No, most people are other districts. There's a couple things that I read actually just today.
I believe that our central conference is next Wednesday. We're honoring.
Yes, I think it is.
Jack Kakura.
Jack Kakura is our kind of education.
Sherry Berlin, thank you.
So, there's a quick sign. All right. Good evening, Grandview Heights.
I actually have one Marble Cliff update first. I know I've talked about it before, but on Monday, August 20th, Marble Cliff Village Council approved the concept plan for the redevelopment of that Frank Packard mansion. And so the new plan has them converting the mansion into 4 to 6 apartments, building 1 3-story apartment building that are 1 and 2 bedroom for a total of 26 units, and then 2 3-story townhouses for a total of 16 units. So that's 48 units overall. So right then, they just have to come with an updated plan on color schemes, look, et cetera. But the Village Council did give that project the nod last month. I think it's been a while since I've done this type of report. I think I talked about the COSI program that the Parks and Rec Department from the city helped out Kids Club. Kids Club was having trouble staying open and then transitioning right into the school year. It was too much on building maintenance and too much on the Kids Club's staff, especially the administrators of that staff. And so they were able to close down a week early, and the city of Grandview Heights contracted with COSI to come in, COSI on Wheels, and they ran a program at Wyman Woods. And they initially opened up to 30 students, and I think I already said, but I got GO in for seat number 30, and then they opened it up for another 30, which also sold out in a day. So they had 60 students that last full week before school started down at Wyman Woods. My son loved it, but it was a great kind of wraparound collaboration, and I've already asked very nicely and charmingly to please do it again after Memorial Day, those 4 days before Kids Club starts, because that's a period where parents are just trying to piece it together because no one really takes vacation after Memorial Day. It's a little bit too cold, and so students are, it's a good time to have one of those programs, and there's so many things in Columbus that the city doesn't really have the staff to put on a program like Kids Club, and they can, there's so many companies you can bring in to run diverse programs. So the hope is to keep that up. There have been a lot of pushback. They said we've offered things during spring break, and we haven't had a lot of support for those programs, but they only offer them for a couple of hours at a time. So a program from 9 to 12 for GEO does me no good. I need a full day if I'm going to send them somewhere. And so they're trying, and I think that worked really well. And you paid a nominal fee to the city. You paid an, did your kids like it?
Yeah, they thought so.
That was okay. Well, my kids like science, so no, it was a good program.
Okay,
the
shelter house is nicer than the kids like it, so.
The shelter house is really nice. It does not have air conditioning though. I think they're working on that.
That's true.
I know it's really hot. And I'm being a little long-winded, but the softball batting cage issue continues. That is a collaboration I'm confident that there's going to be a softball batting cage built. It's just
no question
it'll be built. The process is just really
grinding slowly.
Softball batting cage. I've walked the space. They were going to wait for the Ops Rose to make sure that the location where they're planning to put it at Pierce Field does not interfere with the 3-day Ops Rose. So I think that we're past that now, and now we're moving into actual estimates to build. And that's a collaboration. It's the foundation, the boosters, the athletic department, the district, and Parks and Rec. So there's a lot of moving parts with that. This week's meeting got canceled, though, which I'm happy about.
It's going to be in the
Northwest Boulevard side?
Yeah, outfield.
Up against the existing
fence.
It will not impact recess.
Yeah, way, way.
Or you could think of it as a cage.
Because
it is.
No. We do not talk about it.
We do not put children in cages. No.
Unless they have a bat in their hands and are swinging at balls, then they could go in a cage.
It actually will be great down there at Pierce because when GBSA kicks beyond for community usage purposes and why all the organizations are interested in being involved is GBSA, there's never enough fields for all the different baseball, t-ball, and softball teams to practice.
And so the way the program works now is you only practice until games start. And once games start, no one practices because there's no place to go. So at least to have, you know, another option with a cage available where, you know, a fourth grader who's doing GBSA can do batting practice. Even when a game is going on, that'll be a nice community resource. That's ongoing. And then there's a press release this week, ongoing negotiations related to a request for economic assistance from actually several developers, and an opportunity to renegotiate the 2009 school compensation agreement. It's extremely complicated and multifaceted. It's very exciting. It's very draining on my time and patience, but we are working through it. There's an economic development meeting at 6 p.m. At City Hall, 6 p.m. on Monday, where City Council is going to talk about, I guess the Economic Development Committee is going to talk about the issue, debate it, and figure out whether we're going to be able to move forward with it.
Well, thank you for
Council, did you want me to talk about safety with park signage?
Oh, please. Yes. Thank you for attending that. The safety committee, right? Safety committee, yes. For City of Grandview Heights, yeah. City Council's safety committee,
yeah,
invited a school participant to come talk about issues related to safety and gun violence in the community.
Because when you said there was a meeting, I think that was it. Basically, what it all came down to was, when we have areas that school uses but our community are owned by the city, are we allowed to put signs up and say this is a gun-free zone, things like that. What it came down to, I'm going to read it from my notes right now, is that there hasn't been any concerns from the park or from the city right now that they would like to put that up and be supportive of having gun-free zones where our children are concerned. It came down to, I'm trying to find my notes here, we need to look at the signage or the contracts that the city has with the schools for when we lease out the space.
We don't sit home when we do that.
That's the problem. So if everyone is on the same page of we want to have, if there's kids, we do not want to have guns. Essentially, I'm boiling this down to very, very, very simple language, but it came down to a contract issue of, since there's how we lease this and when is it school time versus when is it city time. It essentially came down to a contract issue, and they were going to speak with the city attorney, Joelle, and someone helped me with her last
name.
She was going to look at that, but all three entities were on the same page of, if we have kids here, we can keep it safe. The only thing that was brought up with, if you do have someone, kind of like the dog, they correlated it to the dogs not being allowed in the park, just ask them to want the dog to go away. So there was that. The city police are looking at, there's some new legislation that's coming up from the concealed carry being loosened in regulations, standing ground rules, not informing police if you have a weapon. So that's current legislation in the State House that could affect this, but until that's passed, pretty much all of the city of Grandview is very much in support of putting up signage to say this is a gun-free zone, especially when children are concerned, but we have to put contracts in there.
And certainly, you know, I as one would be very supportive of anything like that. I think it's important for the board to realize, I had to look this up, that there's a relatively recent addition to the Higher Advice Code that we can enact school safety zones, but it's illegal for a board to permit, if someone has a valid carry, conceal, and pop in their car, and those sorts of things. Guns will still be in our parking lots. Guns will still be in our parks. We will look at the signs.
That's what they were talking about, the changes in legislation at the State House could, I don't want to say undermine, but it's, yeah. That passes, we can put all the signage up we want.
Well, thank you for going to that meeting.
That's interesting.
Andy, superintendent's report.
So all of you should have a copy of this, and I'm going to highlight just a couple things. Several of these bullets reference Sentero Counseling and some of the services that they're authored or that they're performing for our district. And, you know, as Molly mentioned earlier with regard to school safety, it's my belief that, yes, we need safe buildings from the outside in, but real school safety starts from the inside out. And this is a wonderful partnership, and they perform a great service. So that's reflected throughout this superintendent's update. We also did ALICE training part two with all of our staff, and I thank the partnership with the Grandview Heights Police and Officer Scott Hiles. He is exceedingly passionate about this topic, and he's a wonderful partner in that. This Friday night, September 14th, is our alumni night from 4 to 6. We'll be opening up Grandview Heights High School, and we'll likely have a huge crowd at the game because many alumni will be attending, which is always a very fun night. I think it's important also just to mention that tomorrow the state of Ohio will be releasing all local state report cards. We've had a initial viewing of our state report card, and we'll be sure and update the board in October with a presentation about that, as well as our academic prospectus and hopefully a quality profile. But as is the case, the state report card is an important yardstick for how our students are achieving and growing. All of our students are achieving and growing, and certainly we look at areas where we can celebrate, but of equal importance, we always look at ways in which, or areas in which we can do a deeper dive and understand root causes for improvement as well.
Any questions for Superintendent Hall? All right, six in action. Curriculum instruction, field trip. Would I can make a motion on curriculum instruction A1? Any questions or discussion? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Comisciano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Westman?
Aye.
Business and Finance, B1 through 8. Could I have a motion to approve B1 through 8, please? Discussion? Question?
I do too.
You go first.
Fourth graders have to do 10 marks this year, and when you log on to 10 marks, it tells you that the company's getting ready to shut down at the end of this year. So is this, there's no other, this is the last year
correct.
Of it? Okay.
Yep, that's exactly correct. This is the last year.
Okay. And Lego League Fund, even though if we're picking up tabs for everyone else's activities, I think moving to pick up Lego League because there's so many participants, and that is a lot of people's primary, and if you balance on Lego League, and apparently Abby's going to do it this year, but it starts now, and it can go till January or February, so
yes.
It is a primary activity for our kids, so we're going to support monetarily all the other, the athletic programs. I think Lego League as an academic extracurricular is a good program to support.
And we are planning on doing exactly that, just like we did the same thing for Science Olympiad at the middle school level, and so we're treating Lego League exactly the same.
They were not schools last year, but they are this year, is that correct?
Lego League, their money runs through our district now. I don't think they have a trade. I don't think there's a paid advisor, is it? It's a volunteer. But we're going to cover that, the fee that those kids would have been charged, just like we're covering it for all the other activities.
Excellent. He puts in a ton of time.
He does, yeah.
He's there right now. I guarantee he's there right now.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful program for our students as well.
Oh, Beth, can you explain real quick the then and now certifications and explain why we seem to have more of those lately than we've had in the past?
So then and now certifications mean, basically the state law, the procedures for spending money by a school district or any other local government is you have to have a purchase order before you make a purchase. And we've had some cases where the purchase order wasn't done before the services were purchased or obtained. And so the remedy in the law is that the board has to approve those purchase orders. I can speak to one on this list, and that is the H.J. Umball and Associates. So we brought them on board to work with us as far as planning for a bond. They're municipal advisors and planning for a bond issue. With all of the negotiation in terms of the school compensation agreement that Melissa talked about, the scope of their work kind of expanded, and they were doing more for us than what a typical role of a municipal advisor would be. So the role of the municipal advisor, we don't pay them unless the bond issue passes, and then they're paid out of the bond proceeds. So when that role kind of expanded and they told me, you know, this is beyond what we would typically do, I did a purchase order then, and some of that work had already been done. So,
I can tell you, 9 years as administrator, I've been going to this a time or two, but I also know it was a big deal. So I don't know if there's a way with better training that we can,
It
really shows that we're not following our financial procedures, and then you have to come to us to say.
You're exactly right. We are actively trying to.
And I never want to do anything that affects our program or our kids or service someone needs. I mean, let's not dig our heels in that much, but I think that's important.
Agreed.
And then the second question on the 10 marks contract, I noticed that was signed. So technically, these contracts are approved by the board and then you guys sign them, right? So is that a.
So Andy typically signs contracts. So he can't sign them until you approve them. So he's the designated purchasing agent. Once the board does approve a business contract with someone, Andy can sign it on behalf of the board as the purchasing agent.
So it would probably be better in the future if the contracts that come to us aren't signed? Or does it matter?
I'm not sure it matters because even if they're signed ahead of time, they're not valid legal contracts until you guys approve them.
Any other questions?
Sometimes a vendor will want that signed and returned to them. It wouldn't stand up in court until it's been board approved, I can tell you.
Any other questions or discussion business plan?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt?
Aye.
Ms. Wasmith?
Aye.
We have personnel items C1 through 12. And we often be volunteers at that. I have a motion for C1 through 12 and D1.
So moved.
Questions or discussion?
Can you speak to again, because the special duty nurse at Stevenson is unusual. It's the first time I've seen something like that since I've been on the board.
Yes.
So can you speak to the, I mean, obviously in general terms, why we need a nurse?
So there are some more challenging situations at Stevenson in terms of the students that we're serving that require increased coverage to ensure that we are meeting all of the students in that building.
So we typically have two rotating nurses?
Yeah.
In the district.
So we have one full-time nurse.
For all three buildings.
Okay. Yeah. Which from a student nurse ratio, we're way above what any district in our surrounding area has, just to be clear. But we have an aide as well. Or para pro. Right, which is very typical in 98% of the districts in Ohio.
Other questions? Beth?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt? Ms. Wasman?
Aye.
All right, OSBA Capital Conference delegate and alternate delegate. I physically don't think I'd be able to. I don't mind. And there's not a legal requirement to send somebody. Or necessarily have a delegate.
I've done the last 2 years. I jumped on the sword.
All right, Molly is a delegate.
With honor this year. I can only do the 12, though.
Especially
you got strong quads, you can stand up and sit down.
You know what? It's just like going to a...
No, it's checking.
Molly, I need your signature before you leave for this.
Oh, yes. Oh. Do they want to be an alternate?
Eric does.
I'll be the alternate.
All right.
Oh. You'll get a large, you'll get a big packet that's going to come to your house in the mail with a platform for the year.
Hey, since the board doesn't change, do you want to be the delegates in 19 also?
Yeah.
To prove vote right now? Okay, we'll just see what's on the agenda.
I think you do get a special ribbon for your badge, too.
You know,
you do.
You do.
I think it's pink.
Is it glittery?
Actually, Melissa, didn't you get recognized as like an honor roll delegate? Honestly.
You were recognized.
No, see, I'm
serious. 1 year I had 3 ribbons on my tag.
I was really important.
And just yellow and new board member.
So I have a motion to have Molly be the delegate and Eric be the alternate.
So moved. Second.
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt? Ms. Wasmuth?
Aye.
Any other items for discussion from the board? Do you need us in executive session? No. Motion for adjournment?
Mr. Bodie?
Aye.
Mrs. Brannon?
Aye.
Mrs. Palmisano?
Aye.
Mr. Truitt? Ms. Wasmuth?
Aye.